holding on your Bayes Amud Bayes, the second Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kayotze Boy, similarly. Now, what is the similarly? We'll talk about in a second. Ritzeach Shigolo Le'ir Miklot, if a Ritzeach goes into Golos through an Ir Miklot, V'rotzu Anshei Ir L'chabdoi, and the people of the city want to give him some kind of honor, they want to appoint him to an important position, or something like that, Yom Lahem Ritzeach Hani, then he has to tell them, I am a Ritzeach. He has to tell them, in other words, in short, the Rambam phrases it that when a person kills somebody else, even the Shogig, the Rambam calls it Takola Gdola Baal Al Yodeh, a tremendous stumbling, a horrible thing happened through him. So now he has to inform the people that I am a Ritzeach, and then they'll see whether they want to honor him. Omruloi Afapitain, and if they say, nevertheless, we still want to honor you, you Kabul Mehen, then he's allowed to accept that position of honor from them. Shinema, because the Pasuk says, Vezed Dvar HaRetzeach, this is the matter, or literally, Dvar means the word of the Retzeach. So as soon as he has to say the word, that I am a Retzeach, but then after that, he's not obligated to say that over and over. Now, what is this Kayotzeboi? So Hagoyes HaBach actually says that Kayotzeboi actually belongs to the previous piece of the Gemara. He says it actually doesn't belong to the Mishnah at all. He says that the last line of the Gemara on the previous Mishnah had been Kib Imiklot Yeshev, that it talked about a Levi who killed in one of the Orei Miklot, where he's supposed to go and then go run away to one of the Orei Miklot, to one of the other Orei Miklot. But if he just goes within the same city and goes to a different neighborhood than B'dieved, that's fine. And the expression is Ir Sheklatatu Kvar, the city that had already protected him is fine for him to for him to stay in the same city. So then Hagoyes HaBach says the words Kayotzeboi belong to that Ir Sheklatatu Kvar Kayotzeboi, that the city that already rescued him is like that, and he doesn't have to move to another city. On the other hand, there are Mephoshim who explain the word Kayotzeboi does go in our Mishnah as well. The Ritva says the word is just like we said in the previous Mishnah, that the Ben Levi has to go to, who lives in one Ir Miklot, has to then move to a different Ir Miklot, and the reason is so that he should be more humbled because of the fact that he killed B'Shogeg. The same way we want a person who was in this situation, who had already gone and gullus to one Ir Miklot, we want him to be humble, we want him to tell the people verbally that I am a Ritzeach, so that they, and then if they still want to honor him, then he can go ahead with it. Yet another explanation is that the Kayotzeboi actually doesn't so much belong over here. It's actually taken from this Mishnah, is also brought in Masechta Shviyas. What's it doing in Shviyas? So you have in Masechta Shviyas, the 10th Perek talks about the dinim of Shmitas Ksofim. Now there also you have an expression of the pasuk with Dvar, Vezed Dvar HaShmita. So the Mishnah explains over there that if after Shmita, if there was no Prusbel, so now all debts have been forgiven, so now if somebody comes and offers you money to pay off a previous debt of his, then you're supposed to tell him, you know, Shmita passed, you're potter from paying it. And if he says, Afal Pi Kein, nevertheless, I still want to pay you, then fine, you're allowed to accept the money from him. The Rambam holds you have to make him say that he's as a gift. He can't. The Rambam learns that under no circumstances can you accept it from him if he continues to say this is to pay off my loan. You would have to get him to say that it's a gift. But in any case, the point is that the Mishnah is giving there an example where you only need to say it once, and then after that you're allowed to accept it. So they're Kayotzeboi. Similarly, the Mishnah says over there, or din over here. So then when the Mishnah is rewritten over here in Masechta Makos, which is where it belongs, then they kept the Kayotzeboi as well, because that was the style that the Loimdim were, that the people who learned Mishnayos Baal Peh were used to learning from Masechta Shviyas. Pedini Mishnas. Malim Hoyu Schal Levim Divir Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that they used to pay fees and rentals to the Levim. Rashi explains it means the cities themselves, the Orei Miklot themselves, would pay the Levim for the fact that the Roitzchim, who are living over there, and a Ritzeach may live there for many years, they have to rent a place to live. So the Levim there in town would own houses, and they would be renting out houses and apartments to the Roitzchim. So Rashi learns that the Malim Hoyu means that the cities would pay the Levim, the individual Levim, for the rental, for the fact that they're renting property to the Rotzchim. That's a coin to Rashi. Tosfos learns that it means the Roitzchim themselves would pay rent and taxes and so forth. You shouldn't think, in other words, the point is that maybe the Levim are obligated to host them for free. Maybe it's Xeris HaKosov that they have to be there, and therefore the Levim have to host them for free. So therefore, Rabbi Hoda is saying, no, the Roitzchim are going to be chayev to pay rent to their landlords, and they're going to be chayev to pay city taxes and so forth. The Rambam also writes similarly. The Rambam writes similarly to Tosfos that it means, according to the opinions, that they have to pay means the Roitzchim themselves have to pay rent for living in these cities. Rabbi Meir says that they didn't pay rent; they got to live there for free. As we're going to see in the Gemara, that there's going to be a difference in that regard between the different types of Orei Miklat, between the big six and the other 42. There is an explanation actually from the Sfas Emes that says that actually what it is that even Rashi doesn't say that the cities would just pay the Levim, because the Levim could jack up the rents however much they want, and the city would have to pay them. So rather what it means is, in other words, that basically when they first set aside the Orei Miklat, then the surrounding cities would pay them to build houses which they're eventually going to need for the Rotschim, and now the Rotschim themselves, when they go to the Orei Miklat, are going to be repaying those cities for what they laid out for that purpose. The Mishnah continues, Rav Meir says the Ritzeach, when he eventually leaves the Orei Miklat after the Kohen Gadol or whichever of the other Kohenim passes away, as we learned before, then he goes back to the old position of high authority that he had before. So Rashi explains, if it was a Nasi or Rosh Beis Din or whatever, Rosh Beis Av or whatever, then he goes back to, so temporarily he had to give that up. He can't very well function as a Nasi or as a Rosh Beis Av when he's stuck inside the city, but now eventually when he leaves, then the mayor says he goes back to that position. Rabbi Yehuda says that he does not, as we'll learn in the Gemara. So the Gemara starts off, when we say about the Smachloikas, about whether they would pay rent, again, according to Rashi, meaning that the city would pay the Levim on behalf of the Rotzchim, or according to the Sfas Emes' explanation, it means that originally the cities had paid for them to build houses, and now over the years, the Rotzchim, as they come to the cities, are reimbursing the cities for what they laid out for that. Or according to Tosfos and the Rambam, that it means that the Rotzchim themselves are paying rent, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Kahana, Machloikas B'sheish. The Machloikas is strictly in the main six Orei Miklat, the ones that we learned earlier in the parak, three on each side of the Yarden. Now, so you have like this. The Pasuk says that the Orei Miklat should be Lochem. V'hoyu Lochem ha'orim l'miklat. So the Mar Sava, Lochem l'klita. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, it means lochem, it's available for you to rescue, to be a safe zone for the Rotzchim, b'shoygig. But not anything else. Anything else, then they have to, anything else you have to pay for. Or Marsava, where's the other opinion? Rabbi Meir holds lochem means lochot sorchechem, means that the Orei Miklat have to be available for anything that you need, meaning that they're able to live there rent free. So that's in the six. Avababoy Meshtayim, but in the other 42 cities, which, as we learned earlier in the parak, the other 42 cities do serve as Orei Miklat as well. We learned from a ribui in the pasuk the fact that it said Va'alehem Tiknu, it said you have the six, and then Va'alehem Tiknu, and then on top of them you give another 42. So earlier in the parak we learned that meant that the 42 are in some ways similar to the six in that they are koilet, they do save a ritzeach as well. But in those 42, divrei hakol ha'yomalam schar, then Rav Kahana says everybody would agree that they pay rent in those 42. We learned, by the way, earlier in the parak that it's not so simple that the 42 are koilet. The Ramban learns on the basis of a Yerushalmi that they're not, that only the six are koilet. So according to him, what Rav Kahana is saying wouldn't begin in the first place, because there's no 42. According to him, the 42 are only cities of Levim. But we're talking, according to the position of the Bavli over here, that all 48 do function as Orei Miklat, then Rav Kahana is saying there'd be that difference between the six and the 42. Omale Rava, but Rava says, there has to be no question that both according to the mayor and according to the Yehuda, the word lachem has to mean l'chol tzarcheichem, has to mean for all your needs. By the way, Agos Habach points out that a few dafim earlier on Daf Tes, we learned that there was a different limud that the Gemara had learned from lachem, that it means that means the Ore Miklat are available for you, but not for Geir Toshav, unless if a Geir Toshav kills another Geir Toshav. Some Foshim explain there are actually several different lachems in there are actually several different lachems in the pasuk, so therefore instead the Aruch HaNer explains, so we may not be learning from Vahoyu Lachem Ha'orim LeMiklat, but from one of the other places in the Pesukim where it says Lachem. Anyway, Rava says, the fact is that the word lachem has to mean for all your needs. How could the mayor possibly say then that it means that they should have to pay rent? Then it's not lachem. Ella Omar Rava, so Rava says the other way around. Machloikas v'aboy m'shtayim. On the contrary, the machloikas is in the 42. So demar sava v'aleim titnu. So Rabbi Yehuda holds. That Rabbi Yehuda holds, it means that you, on top of them, on top of the six, you designate another 42. All that means is kihanach l'klita. That means they're only like the other ones, only like the original six, as far as that they protected im miklat, that they protected retzeach b'shgaga. But not anything else. They're unlike the six, where they would, in fact, where Rava is learning now, in the six, they would definitely be potter from rent. In the 42, they would not. So according to that opinion, Umar Sava Valeim Titnu Kihanach, and the other opinion holds that no, Valeim Titnu means they have to be just like the other ones. Mahanach Lachotzer Chechem, Afhani Nami Lachotzer Chechem, just like the six are meant Lochem, and it says clearly in the pasuk for you, and that means they're available for all your needs, including that you live there rent free. So it would have to be with the 42. Afhanach Nami Lachotzer Chechem, the same way the other 42 are also for all your needs, and there's no payment. But in the six, they definitely, there would be no rentals or fees or taxes, or according to the different opinions that we said that they would have to pay, they would be able to live there for free. Now there is a point Mephoshim bring up, Mephoshim bring up a point that, called Ein Hekesh Lemechza. Now, when you have a hekesh between two things, in general, we don't say that hekesh is not by only half. We don't say that we're making a hekesh for only one thing and not anything else. So, only a partial right. So if we have a hekesh over here between the 6 and the 42, if we have the 6 were saying they're potter from rent, and the 42, and the 42, they should be chayev, then how does that work? What happened to in a hekesh lemechza? So the Aruch HaNer gives an explanation, actually, that he says that no, because it's not really so much a hekish, it's more that we're adding something. We're saying once we have six, then we also have another 42 on top of them. So it's not really, in other words, only as far as the din that it says b'fedosh and the Torah, that they protect a person, but not as far as l'chol tzarcheichem, which is a ribui, so therefore it wouldn't be included. And after all, the Aruch HaNer goes on to point out, after all, you know, you have the, we definitely said there was a distinction between them anyway. We learned a few days ago that the six are koilet, even if a person went in there shaloi l'das, even if he went in there unknowingly, they brought him in there while he was sleeping, let's say, then still the Ore Miklat protect him, as opposed to the 42 not. So obviously there's not a total comparison across the board between the 6 and the 42, and therefore the Yehuda has reason to say over here that there should be also this difference as far as rent. There is further in this connection, there was an interesting point as well that we find elsewhere in the Gemara that in Yerushalayim, they weren't allowed to rent their houses to the Olei Regel, because Yerushalayim was considered the common property of all the Shvatim, and therefore whenever anybody is Olei Regel, then it's considered like they belong there. So maximum what they could do is they could rent them beds and furniture and things like that, but they couldn't rent them the actual land, the actual house, because that's considered to be the common property of everybody. So in the same way over here, we're saying basically that they can't charge rent in the six, and according to one opinion, also not in the 42. The Siach Yitzchak points out that in that case, by the same token, as the houses in Yerushalayim can't become tamei with saras, because they're considered, because they're not considered the how the property of the people who live there. What about then? You should say by the same logic in an Ir Mikla, the houses shouldn't be able to become tameh with tzaras. And he gives an answer because they can't rent to the rotzchim in the 6 or in the 42 as the case may be, but they can rent to other people who come to live in town. So therefore, so it's not like in Yerushalayim where they can't rent them at all. The Gemara continues. The Mishnah had said that Rameyo had said that a person that the Ratzeach Meshogeg, when he finally leaves the Ir Miklat, he can go back to the old position that he had before, and Rabbi Yehuda had said that no. So the Gemara says Tanan Rabbanon. The Pasuk says like this. The Pasuk says you have a similar kind of thing as far as an Eved Ivri. The Pasuk says that when an Eved Ivri goes free after 6 years of Yovel, as the case may be, so the Pasuk says, V'shav al mishpach, so he should return to his family, V'alachuz asavoy sav yoshuv, and he should return to the land holdings of his ancestors. So, that means, V'mishpach tehu shav, V'enishav l'mashach ziku avoy sav. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, in a similar vein, it means he returns to his family and he returns to his inheritance and all of that. But he doesn't return to what his ancestors had a chazaka of Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So meaning, in other words, that the same kind of thing. If his ancestors had some kind of distinguished position, then he doesn't go back even when he goes free. Then he doesn't get back that position that he had before.
Yeah, but the pasuk says all the other way. The pasuk says he says
mishpachte ve'alachos asavoy sav yoshuv. Right. But Rabbi Yehuda is saying that what that means is the pasuk is saying that he goes back to his family, but he doesn't go back. He goes back alachos asavoy sav. He goes back to his ancestors' property, but he doesn't go back to the srora, to the position that he had before.
Okay.
So Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says, that he never resumes that because since he was an Eved Ivri, then therefore it means he's lost that. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir Omer, Afu Shav, L'mashech Ziku Avoisav. Rabbi Meir says that no, he does go back to what his ancestors had a chazaka of some kind of important position. And in fact, he says, Kshu Omer, Yoshuv, because since the Pasuk says, because El Achuzah Savoisav, because when it says he returns to his ancestors Achuza, that means Ka'avoisav means he becomes just like his ancestors. So because in other words, otherwise it didn't have to say El Achuzah Savoisav. So it means to the entire chazaka that his ancestors had. B'chein b'goyla, you have a similar kind of machlokas where it comes to the person who went into Golos, as in our Mishnah. Rabbi says in the same vein that when it says Yoshuv, when it says by the Eved Ivri, when it says by the Lachos Asavoy of Yoshuv, what do you need that extra word? What do you need that extra word Yoshuv? So Rabbi Meir says you learn from that. It comes to include the Retzeach that he also gets to return to his original position. So my v'chein begoyla. So what do we mean by that? What is v'chein begoyla? How do we learn from the Eved Ivri to the Ritzeach? So the Gemara says Kiditanya, as we learn in another Braisa. The Pasuk says by a bar Ritzeach Yoshu haRitzeach el Eretz Achuzase. The Pasuk says the Ritzeach returns to the land of his inheritance. That means lo Eretz Achuzase hu shav. So it means he returns to the land of his inheritance. He can go live anywhere where he lived before in Eretz Yisrael. Ve'ena shav l'mashach ziku avoysav divrei Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yehuda says again, it means he doesn't return to the chazaka that his ancestors had, to the srora, to the position of importance that he had before he went into Golos. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer afu shav l'mashach. And Rameo says he does return to it. So why is it? Because Rameo Goma Shiva Mehosam, because he learns Xera Shava on the word Shiva. He says you have the word Yoshuv by the Retzeach, you have the word Yoshuv by the Eved Ivri. So therefore, Rameo says you can learn Xera Shava from one to the other. And since by the Eved Ivri he learns Achuza Savoisav, means not just his father's inheritance in land, it also means anything that his ancestors had a chazaka, which he inherited from them. So the same way he says by the Retzeach, he would also have that. So the mayor learns that Gzeira Shava. And Rabbi Yehuda, on the contrary, actually learns the Rabbi Yehuda would say from the Gzeira Shava that on the contrary, that not, since the pasuk says, clearly by the Ritzeach that says El Eretz Achuzosai, that he only returns to Eretz Achuzosai, then Fakert, he learns the other way around. That means by the Eved Ivri also means he returns to his land, but not to his Surara. So in other words, in effect, Tosfos is saying, in effect, both of them are using the Gzeira Shava, but they're kind of using it in opposite directions. So that's what we're talking about, a Srara that he inherited, that he inherited from his ancestors. I mean, what about, the Ritva says there's really no difference, though, in this regard, whether it's something he inherited from his ancestors or whether it's something that he himself got. The Mishnah explains Rabbi Yehuda's reason that he doesn't even go back to his own Srara. The Braisa wants to explain Rabbi Meir and say that even if it wasn't something that he ever had, he never was in this position beforehand, but he inherited it, he would have been in line to inherit it, then now when he gets out of the Ir Miklat, then he does get it. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, so therefore he doesn't. And as the Rambam says, because such a kol gdola, such a tremendous stumbling came about through him. Can he be given a new position? What about, for example, so he didn't have a position of importance before. Now they want to appoint him to some kind of position of importance after the fact. So he said, so the Ritva says both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir would hold that you can't do that. Now on top of that, you also have this is all when he was a Ritzeach. There's discussion in halacha. What about in general when a person did some other avera or lost a position because of something else that he did? Whether he gets that back? There's a good deal of discussion in halacha about the ins and outs of that. Whether we know, for example, a kohen gadol who couldn't serve on Yom Kippur, afterwards he goes back to his position, the substitute doesn't take over forever. Tosfos elsewhere discusses, let's say, for example, again in connection with the Kohen Gadol, that if a leader or a ruler or whatever had to be replaced because of oinus, then you do like with an Amiel and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, where the first one gets back his position, but we still show honor to the second one.
That wasn't because of an Avera, right, but
that was just because of Oinus. Tosfos says, though, that the point is we see that with Oinus we do that. But before we talk about, not necessarily, sometimes you can have a person needs to be replaced because of Oinus. The question is, does he get back his job or not? The Mordechai brings in this connection. Let's say that there was a certain person who used to have a regular chazakah of a certain mitzvah and shul, for example, Glila. And then there was an onus, or he was poor or whatever, and he couldn't afford to buy it anymore, so therefore they gave it to somebody else. Later on, the original one gets money, and he wants to go back to do the mitzvah, so they ask the Maharam Luttenberg, and Maharam explains that it really depends. If when they gave it to Shimon, Reuven could have paid, but he just didn't want to, then it means he was moichel on it, and now he has no right to get it back. But if it was an onus, if he really couldn't afford it, and now he wants to do it, then it would be like the Kohen Gadol, So this whole point is brought in Shulchan Aruch. So again, it's not so simple when it's because of Avera. When it's a Ritzeach, then for sure we're saying that we don't. But when it was not a Ritzeach, when it was just because of some other onus, then in general we do give it back to him. Hadron Aloch Evohena Golan. The next parak over here is going to talk about, well, the Masechta is called Malkus because it's named after Malkus, and so the next parak over here, which is large enough to take up almost half the Masechta by itself, is going to talk all about Malkus. So we're going to start by defining what kinds of averas the person gets malchus for, and then we're going to talk about, as we go through the parak, the various dinim of how malchus is administered and so on and so forth. So again, like we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta, this is kind of a natural sequel to Masechta Sanhedrin. Having talked about in Sanhedrin the Dalet Mitzvos based in, then it's a natural thing to talk next about the kinds of malchus that they give. So the Mishnah says, Ve'elu heina loikin, the following people get malchus. Now, the Mishnah is not going to give us an entire listing. The Rambam, in fact, when the Rambam brings in Hilchos Sanhedrin, the Rambam brings a list of no less than 207 mitzvahs for which a person would get malchus. You have, he lists like this. You have a bunch of them for which a person might get kares, if he did it, b'mezid, without Eidim Vasara, or some of them even with Eidim Vasara, some of them, the maximum punishment is kares. Some of them would be misvidei shemayim. And then you have a bunch of them where the maximum penalty to begin with is malchus. So altogether, the Rambam lists, you have several enumerations of those. Altogether, then he comes up with 207 for which a person could be chayav malchus. So here the Mishnah is not going to list all of them. So Rashi points out that really the Mishnah is going to be focusing on groups of them where the Mishnah is going to be focusing on groups where there was a chiddush of some kind. So not necessarily each individual one, but each group that we're going to have over here, there's some kind of chiddush in it.
Categories.
Yeah, they're basically categories, and within each one, there's going to be some kind of chiddush. Tosfos also says similarly that Tosfos says actually that Rashi was doichet to find a chiddush in every one of them. The Maharam points out we don't really find that. We don't see as we go through Rashi that he's trying to be doichet to find a chiddush in every single one of them. So the Maharam explains what Tosfos meant to object to Rashi is more that Rashi explains specifically by one of them that we're going to learn in the Mishnah, Tomei she'ochel asa kodesh, that when a Tomei person ate kodeshim, that he's chayiv malchus, and Rashi goes and tries to find a source for that in the pasuk and a couple of others. So therefore, Rashi apparently holds that there has to be some of the ones mentioned in the Mishnah is because we don't have a clear lav for them in the Torah, and therefore that would be the chiddush. The Tosfos is saying that Rashi is doichik a little bit to find all of those. Okay, so they are as follows. Habar l'choso, a man has relations with his sister. Now this is the first one in a group that includes chayve krisis. A person would do such a thing with mezid, he would be chayve koris. So therefore, the chiddush of our Mishnah is that a person who is chayve koris when he did it without edim vasra, if there were edim and they warned him, don't do it, you're going to be chayve malchus, then he does in fact get malchus. And as we're going to learn at the end of the parak, we're going to say a person who gets malchus under those circumstances is now potter from koris. So that's the chiddush of this part of the Mishnah, is that it's going to list a number of chayve krisis where he can get malchus. So Abala Choseh, Vala Chos Aviv, or he has relations with his father's sister, which is also, in general, all the arayas are koris. Some of it, so all of the arayas, person doesn't amaze that he's chayav koris. Some of them, there's misas based in as well, if there's Edim Vasra. But the ones that we're listening here in the Mishnah, there's no misas based in. Even though it would be Edim Vasra, there's no misas based in for his sister or his father's sister, etc. The maximum penalty for those is koris. So now we're saying, if there were Edim Vasra, then instead he gets malchus.
What is the difference between Nisan Lesensha and Michal Shabbos?
So Michal Shabbos, for example, there's misas based in. If they were to give Masra, he's Chayef Skila.
Yeah.
So therefore, there's no Malchus involved. Malchus would be...
If he does,
B'shergig, he wins a Chatas, right. The general rule is, a Chatas would be for any case where B'shergig, a person would be, where B'mezer, a person would be Chayef Koris, then B'shergig, he brings a Chatas. So yeah, in the case of Shabbos, there can be Koris if there was no Edim Masra. But if there's Edim Vasra, there's Skila, so therefore there's no Malchus. Here we're talking about the Gemara elsewhere calls it Lav Shemitin, Laz Horas Misas Basin, a Lav which was given to you have a potential Misas Basin involved, therefore there's no Malchus. But here we're talking about where there is no Misas Basin in the first place. Even you knew the guy did it B'mezid and they gave him Asra and all that, there's no Misas Basin for a man having relations with a sister. The maximum penalty is Kores, and therefore if there's Edim Vasra, then instead there's Malchus. Valachos Imoy, or his mother's sister, Valachos Ishtoy, or his wife's sister, while his wife is alive, Val Isha Sachiv, or his brother's wife, where there's a, his brother's wife, where there's no Yibum involved, in any of the many cases that it talks about in Masechta Yevamos, where there's no Yibum, Val Isha Sachi Aviv, or his father's wife, or his father's brother's wife, all of those are listed among the Arayas. Some of these, for example, I mean, you have, for example, let's say Mina Torah, it would only be his father's brother's wife, only if it's his father's brother from the father's side. If it was his father's maternal brother, then his wife is also to the nephew only Dirabanan.
Like, for example...
No, we're not talking about where she's married. We're talking about, let's say, they were married and now she's divorced or widowed or what have you. Val a nida, or he has relations with a nida, all of those would be chayiv kares, and therefore, if there were edim and asra, then he gets malchus. So that's the chiddush Rashi points out of this section of the Mishnah, is this concept, which we're going to discuss in the Gemara, about chayiv krisus being chayiv malchus. The next group is Almona the Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol marries an Almona, which is a lav, Grusha v'chalutza l'Kohen Hedyet, or a Kohen Hedyet marries a Grusha or a Chalutza. Rashi points out that the Grusha, it says clearly in the Pasuk. The Chalutza, Rashi points out further, we learn from a Ribui in the Pasuk, because we learn from the Pasuk, it says Ve'isha, Grusha Me'isha, the Ve'isha teaches us also a Chalutza. With that said, though, in general, the Rishonim understand that Chalutza is also only Drabbanan. So in that case, then the drasha that Rashi is saying is really more an asmachta rather than a full drasha. So now we're mentioning these in order to mention the point. The chiddush of these is not so much that there's malchus involved, because of course they're lavim. There's no reason there shouldn't be malchus. The chiddush with this group is what the Gemara is going to point out, that what the Mishnah is going to go on to point out, that you can have a woman who's chayav, who's also to a kohen on two grounds, and therefore that there's double malchus involved, as the Mishnah is going to go on to explain further on. Next, mamzeres and nesina liyisrael. You can have a yisrael, a regular yid marries a mamzeres or a nesina. A nesina also is one of those things, that the nesinim are descended from the givonim, and Rashi points out the malchus would be, because the pasuk says lois hischat and bam, but there is discussion about that, because in other places the Gemara says that Yeshua was gozu on them, and that David was gozu on them, which would make up derabbanan. So there's discussion about that when exactly they were also deraisa, and when they were also derabbanan. One thing is the original generation that became geirim in Yeshua, that tricked Yeshua and became geirim in that time, would be deraisa, and future generations would be only derabbanan. And then there's other explanations as well. Anyway, so you have all those. Yisrael, if Yisrael marries them, or bas Yisrael and nosan or mamzer, or vice versa, a regular Jewish woman marries a nosan or a mamzer. So all of those there would be malchus involved, because a mamzer, the Torah clearly says lo yobim mamzer b'kal Hashem, and it applies equally to men and women. Nosin, again, as Rashi is saying, because you have the pasuk lo yischat and bam, and it applies again either direction. The Aruch HaNer makes an interesting point over here. He says, why is it that when you have a Yisrael marrying them, you have mamzeres and then nesina, whereas when a bas Yisrael marries, you have nosin and mamzer? So why flip around the order? So he says because the Isser of a Nosin comes from earlier in the Torah than the Isser of a Mamzer. A Nosin comes from Loises Chatin Bom, which is in Parshas Vaschanan. The Mamzer is in Parshas Kisitza. But before it put Mamzeres first, because it didn't say it explicitly in the Pasuk, and as the Gemara sometimes says, we want to put something that was learned from a Drosha first. So therefore it mentions Mamzeres first, because we learned from a Drosha, then Nesina, which is more clear in the Pasuk, like Sischat and Bam, and then by a Jewish woman marrying them, then it puts them in the order according to the Pesukim, Nosin and then Mamzer.
In all these cases, both men and the women receive the
Malchus. Both men and women receive Malchus in these cases, right? Yeah. Next, the Mishnah continues. Almona v'hi grusha. Now, in this connection, if a woman were to be both an almona and a grusha in that order, chayav nalei mishum shnei shemus, then a kohen gadol who marries her is going to be chayav on two grounds, and therefore he's going to be chayav double malchus, because then you have she was an almona, as the Gemara is going to explain. The point is, basically, as an almona, she was also only to the Kohen Gadol. Now that she becomes a grusha, she's in addition also to a regular Kohen as well, and therefore it's called an Isser Moisif, and therefore there can be extra malchus for that, as we'll discuss in the Gemara. Similarly, on the other hand, grusha v'chalutza ain't a chayiv. Ela mishum achas bilvad. On the other hand, if the woman was a grusha from her first husband and chalutza from a second husband, and then she married a kohen, then that kohen would be chayiv only for one malchus. Rashi says because even though the chalutza is learned from a pasuk, but we learn it from the same words in the pasuk as it refers to a grusha, v'isha grusha me'isha. So therefore, Rashi says it wouldn't be separate malchus. Tosfos points out that no, the chalutza is also only dirabbanon. So, like we said before, what Rashi brought is only an asmachta, and therefore that would be why he's getting only one malchus over here. Now, in a case, Tosfos points out there can be a case where he marries only a chalutza and he's getting malchus maridus dirabbanon. But in this case, where he's already getting malchus daraisa, we're not in addition going to give him malchus dirabbanon, malchus maridus for marrying the chalutza, even though she is a grusha and chalutza, because already he's getting malchus for marrying her and having relations with her, and therefore the chum are not going to impose on him more malchus as well. Okay. Next, the next group in the Mishnah, Hatomei She'ochal Asa Kodesh, a person who was Tomei and ate Kodshim. So Rashi says we don't know where we're going to see in the Gemara where we learn the Azhara, where we learn the warning for it. We know that all Lavan, there has to be some place of warning in the Torah. Don't do this. So we're going to discuss in the Gemara where we have that warning. V'abol HaMikdash Tomei, also if a person goes into the Bais Mikdash when he's Tomei, V'oichol Chelev, or he eats chalev, so there the Torah clearly says don't eat chalev. The noser, or pigle, who eats blood, or noser, leftovers of a karbanos, or pigle, which we'll learn about extensively in the Sechta Zvachim, beginning at the end of this year, Bez Hashem, that pigle is where the person doing the avodah, it can be a zor for the shchita, it can be any, it has to be dafka or koyin, for the other three avodahs, has in mind something involving doing an avodah with the korban tomorrow. He intends to eat the meat of the korban tomorrow, or beyond the time that he's allowed to, or to sprinkle the blood of it beyond the time that he's allowed to, then the korban becomes right away pigul, and anybody who eats from it is chayiv karis, and therefore again, if there were edim v'asara, then there's malchus.
No sir, the same korin karis though.
No sir is karis. We're going to learn in the Gemara. So in both no sir and pigul, there's karis, and therefore again, karis means that there's going to be lav. Yeah, person gets karis for eating no sir. So noiser is where it was left over from the korban. In other words, it was a perfectly kosher korban, and then somebody left over from the meat or the bread or whatever of it beyond the time. As we say every day in Israel Mokoyman, you have the deadlines by which various korbanos have to be eaten, so anything that's left over after that becomes noiser. Pigul is where the koyin, or in the case of the shchita, anybody who shechted it, had in mind what the Gemara calls machsheves hazman, something involving the time of the korban. He plans to eat or to sprinkle the blood of the korban beyond, or to burn the fat of it on the mizbeach beyond a certain time, and then it makes it pigul. Then it makes it the person is chayiv kares for eating that, and then it's possible right away. So all those cases, then again, a person. Were to eat those and there were edim v'asra, then he would get malchus. So continues the Mishnah. The next one is if a person shechts a korban or offers it outside the Bais Mikdash. So then you have so in the case of the Tomei, Rashi explains that in the case of a person who eats pigul or noiser with tomei, a person eats chalev or blood or noiser or pigul or meat from a korban that's tomei. So each of those, you have something clear in the pasuk that says don't eat it. So far, the only one that we had that there's no clear source for it in the Torah is tomei she'ochal hakodesh, and the Gemara will take that one up. Next, a person who shechts a korban or offers it outside the Bais Mikdash. So there you have it clearly says in the pasuk, and then the Gemara learns in Zvachim, at the end of Zvachim, how we know that the same thing applies to mala, to somebody who offers it outside the Bais Mikdash. Tosfos Rashi points out there are two different limudim near the end of Zvachim. There's two different ways of, with the shechet that says clearly in the pasuk, the mala, the Gemara has two different ways of learning how we know that a person is chayiv koris for it, and if he's chayiv koris, then he's chayiv malchus. Next, a person eats chometz on Pesach, where also there's koris involved. or he eats or does malacha on Yom Kippur. So there you have the Gemara in Yuma explains where we learn from that he's also to do that. Or a person compounds the Shemen HaMishcha, you have the recipe for the Shemen HaMishcha given in the Torah, so somebody goes and duplicates that. So he does the same thing with the Torah. In both those cases, the Torah warns you not to do that. Or a person who takes some of the original Shemen HaMishcha and smears it on his skin, where he's not a Kohen Gadol or a king. Also, the Torah warns not to do that. Or a person eats nevela trefa shkotzim uramasim. All of those, the Torah warns a person not to eat those. This week's parasha actually is a lot of them. Ochal tevel. Another one is if a person eats tevel, where truma and maisa have not been taken from it yet. Or maisa rishin shalom nitla truma. So or eats maisa shein, or eats maisa rishin where the truma's maisa have not yet been taken out to be designated for the kohen. Or maisa sheni the hektish shalom niftu. Or maisa sheni or hektish that had not been redeemed, and he eats the maisa sheni outside Yerushalayim, or eats the hektish without redeeming it. So here, actually, Rashi says, all the ones we said so far, either we have a very clear thing in the Torah that says don't do it, or the Gemara in various other places learns where exactly the issue comes from. It learns it from Gzeira Shava, or from one of the other Midas Shatur and Adreshus Behen. Rashi is bothered by over here, you don't really find clearly in a pasuk where it says hekta shle nifta, where exactly there should be an issur in eating it, that a person would be chayav malchus for it. So Rashi explains, now you have like this in Sanhedrin, you had a machlokas about what happens if a person does me'ilah b'mezid. A person takes something from Hekdesh and uses it for his own purposes b'mezid. So we learned in Sanhedrin that Rebbe had said he's chayiv misa b'dei shemayim, and the Chacham said there's only an azhara, there's only a lav involved. And the Gemara had discussed over there, Rebbe learns by Gzeira Shava from Truma on the word Chet. The Rabbanan say that since you have a posik, Mesu Voi, it says by Truma, that they will die because of it. That's a miut, meaning not Me'ilah, so therefore there's no Mises Vestin, and there's no Mises Vedeshimayim. So now, Rashi explains, therefore, the Chachamim agree that there is that Gzeira Shava. They just hold that because you have the word boy, then it takes it away from Misa B'dei Shemayim. But nevertheless, there is still the Gzeira Shava, that there is an Azhara for it. And therefore, since by Truma you have an Azhara, B'chol Zor Lo Yecho Kodesh, and many dinim of Me'ilah are learned from Truma by this Gzeira Shava, so therefore it also includes the basic Isser that a person should do Me'ilah and eat something of Hekdesh before being poyed. That's according to Rashi. There are a number of other mafroshim that discuss various other ways in which we can learn that a person who eats a person who eats hektish without redeeming it is chayiv malchus. There's a number of other different ways that mafroshim discuss how exactly we can learn that. Next. So we went through this list. Now, one of the things on the list was tevel. Kama yochum and a tevel v'yehei chayev. How much tevel does a person have to eat in order to be chayev? Most of the other things, it's obvious that it would be a kazayis, but maybe the Mishnah is thinking that maybe by tevel, that maybe it should be different by tevel. So Rashi elsewhere explains that the reason is because by Truma or Nevela, then the Mishnah is going to talk about whether a person is chayav for eating a beria. Now, that would be only with something that to begin with was also from the beginning. But when you have, for example, Truma or Nevela, they didn't start out as Truma, they didn't start out as Nevela. So everybody would agree that you don't have a concept of beria there. The concept that if it's a whole grain or a whole bug all by itself, a person should be chayiv malchus, that wouldn't apply necessarily to truma or nevela or something like that. But here, when it comes to tevel, so Reb Shimon omer kol shehu, Reb Shimon says any amount, v'chamam kazayis, and the chum say it has to be a kazayis. Omer lahen Reb Shimon, so Reb Shimon says, iyatem modim li ba'ochel nemala kol shehu chayiv, don't you agree with me that if a person were to eat one entire ant, then he would be chayiv malchus, even though it's a lot less than a kazayis? Omrulois, the Chum said, sure, but that's Mitznashi Kibir Yasa. That's because the beria, it's a whole ant, the way it was created, so it has a special chashivos, but otherwise not. Amalahan, said Rabbi Shimon, says Afchita Achas Kivur Yosef. New and one grain of tevel is also like is also a barrier. So therefore, you should have that the person should be chayiv malchus for it. The Chum hold, as the Gemara is going to explain later on, that the concept of barrier only applies to living creatures. So therefore, so the reason why the Gemara is bringing this again in connection with Tevel specifically is because Reb Meir, Reb Shimon is saying that even by Tevel, it's enough to have a grain would be considered a barrier, but only Reb Shimon would say that only by something where that grain to begin with started out as osur, namely Tevel, where to begin with it grew and didn't have truma taken from it yet. Yes, you were allowed to eat it until it was finished processing, until Gemar Malacha, but nevertheless, once Gemar Malacha happens, then it's osur, as opposed to truma, which becomes osur only when it's designated, and Nevela, which becomes also only when it's dead. And there, Reb Shimon agrees that you don't have the concept of barrier, the concept of barrier over there. Meanwhile, again, when it comes to Shkotzim or Amasim, the Chum agree that there is the concept of barrier. The argument is whether it applies to grain as well. Okay. So the Gemara says, Chayvik Krisis Katoni. Now, our Mishnah is mentioning cases where a person is Chayv Kodesh. The Mishnah had gone through at the beginning and the middle of the Mishnah, it had gone through all the cases where a person is chayiv kares. Chayiv and Mrs. Beistin like Katoni, but the Mishnah did not mention any cases where a person is chayiv and Mrs. Beistin that we should say that they should get Malkus instead. Now, obviously, chayiv and Mrs. Beistin, there's Lavim involved as well. So the question is, so Masnissin Mani, who is our Mishnah like? So the answer is Rabbi Akiva. The answer is our Mishnah is specifically according to Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Shmuel. The Tanya, we learn in a Brisa. Echad chayiv krisis ve'echad chayiv Mrs. Beistin. Whether a person is chayiv kares or Mrs. Beistin, either way, yeshne v'b'chlam malchus aboyim, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says malchus of 40 or 39, as we're going to learn later on in the parak, applies, says Rabbi Shmuel. So in other words, Rashi explains at this point the Gemara is assuming that Rabbi Shmuel is saying that if they were to give him hasra for both, if they would tell him, for example, don't break Shabbos, because if you do, you're going to be chayav misa and you're going to be chayav malchus. The Gemara is assuming at this point that Rabbi Shmuel is saying that he would be chayav both. He'd be chayav malchus and then he'd be given misa.
So 80.
What?
He gets 80.
Not 80. He'd be getting malchus and misa. He'd be getting 40 malchus and then he'd be given skila. That the Gemara is assuming at this point, says Rashi, that Rabbi Shmuel, that this is what Rabbi Shmuel holds. Later on, we're going to revisit that and see that's not what Rabbi Shmuel means. But right now, so we start that, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, I'm a chayv krisis, yeshne, b'chlam, malchus aboyim. Rabbi Akiva says, no, people who are chayv kores are in the category of malchus in the sense, she's also tshuva, that if they do tshuva, that if a person did something which is chayiv kares, and then he does tshuva, based in shomayla, moichel and lahem, then the based in shomayla will forgive them, and therefore there can be malchus involved. Chayiv Mrs. Beistin ain't b'chlam malchus aboyim, as opposed to chayiv Mrs. Beistin are not in the category of malchus. Shem also tshuva ain't based in shomata merkel on the hand, because even a person who's chayiv Mrs. Beistin does tshuva, the Beistin on earth will not be able to forgive them. Cannot commute their sentence because they did tshuva. Now, why not, Taka? So the Noda B'Yehuda gives an explanation like this. Listen, otherwise it would be impossible to ever punish somebody in Beistin. They would always say, I did tshuva. So Hashem knows the truth. So, and after all, Hashem wants to give a certain kind of punishment to Misa for certain things, so people will be afraid to do those things. So therefore, Hashem had no choice, so to speak, but to make it that Shuvah is not going to help, and the person, even who does Shuvah, is not going to be potter from Misa. So that's the Noda B'Yehuda talks about that. Various other Achronim talk about other angles on it as well. The Aruch HaShulchan HaOsid says further in that regard, the fact is, Beistin can't always know who did tshuva sincerely and who not. Even a person did, they talk about even a person did, for example, tshuva samishkol. Now you have a concept that's brought in Sfarim where a person should do tshuva, he should do exactly the opposite of what he did originally. So that's what's called tshuva samishkol. So let's say, for example, until now a person was stingy and giving tzedakah. So now he should go to the opposite extreme and he should be going and giving extra tzedakah. And similarly with other kinds of things, he should be doing a tshuva in such a way to clearly show that he's gone to the opposite extreme and that he's trying his best to undo what he did before. Nevertheless, the fact is, you can't know whether a person is doing that sincerely or whether he's just doing that for show. So when it comes to Kodesh, which is up to Hashem, then Hashem can forgive him. But when it comes to the Beis Din Shomata, then he can't. And then there's also a point, the Aruch HaNer points out makes another point as well, that we said, we talked about in the previous perek, we talked about the Irm Niklot and the Kapara that happens for it, we talked about a case where the person was sentenced after a new Kohen Gadol was appointed, and we said the new Kohen Gadol should have daven that the person should be exonerated and based in, and because of that, because he didn't, then therefore the Ritzeach leaving the Irmichlet depends on the second Kohen Gadol's dying. So they actually explain what it means is, in other words, if Hashem would forgive him completely, then Hashem, as we learned there, would cause the Dayanim to think of him more favorably and to exonerate him. So therefore, in other words, the Kohen Gadol failed to daven that he should be able to, that Hashem should forgive him. So in the same vein over here, if the Aruch HaNer says if a person is executed by Beis Din, it means that Itaka didn't do genuine tshuva, otherwise Hashem would have found a way to cause the Dayanim to exonerate him. So that fits also over here that we're saying that people who are chayiv misses Beis Din, even if they do tshuva, Beis Din Shomata is not forgiving them, because the very fact that Beis Din Shomata convicted them shows that their tshuva was not a complete one. So the point is, Rabbi Akiva, so our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva, therefore, that it didn't mention any Chayv and Mrs. Beis Din, because according to Rabbi Akiva, Chayv and Mrs. Beis Din are not getting Malkus in the first place. The Braisa continues, Rabbi Yitzchak says another opinion, Chayv and Krisis v'chlal hoyu. Chayv and Krisis are in the category of, they were in the category of Arayas, meaning at the end of the parasha of Arayas, So at the end of the parasha of Arayas, it says that people are chayv koris for doing these things. So now there's a general rule over there of all chayv krisis. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos explains why the chayv krisis would be in the general category that every lav gets malchus unless otherwise specified. So the lama yotzes koris v'achosoi. So why did the Torah single out and mention koris specifically by a man having relations with a sister, where there it explicitly says koris separately by her? It means v'aladune the koris for leiva malchus. So Rabbi Yitzchok says that means by Arayas there's not malchus at all. Only koris. The Torah is telling you that they're not in the category of things that are chayav malchus. So in other words, according to him, the fact that it says chorus by them, where in general you have chorus at the end, means that by these things there's only chorus and nothing else. So you have three opinions over here. According to Rabbi Shmuel, whether a person is chayv chorus or mitzvahs based in, there can be malchus involved as well. According to Rabbi Akiva, only chayv chrisis. According to Rabbi Yitzchok, neither. Neither chayv chrisis nor chayv mitzvahs based in. So the Gemara says, my time at Rabbi Shmuel. Why does Rabbi Shmuel say that there can be malchus by mitzvahs based in? So Dichtiv, the Pasuk says in Lois Sishmer Lassus, it's called Divra Terazos. The Pasuk says if you don't guard to do all the words of this Torah, which by the way, later on in the Perek, the Mishnah says that when the person was giving Malkus, the Beis Din would be reading this Pasuk out loud. They would be saying this Pasuk out loud as he's giving the Malkus, so he realizes why he's getting the Malkus, because he failed to fulfill what the Torah says. The pasuk continues, "Vehifla Hashem es makoyscha." Hashem will make your blows wondrous. Now, what's this vehifla? Hafla do any adam mahi? What does that word wonder? What does that word hafla mean? Means true omavi pila yashrefet the kol afanav. When you have elsewhere, the Torah describes that the person is thrown down in front of the dayanim, as we're going to learn later on in the parak. The person is made to lean against a pillar or something while they're giving him malchus. So therefore, it would be kol afanav. But he strikes him heavy ema flazu malchusi. So now you understand the hifla is meant to be related to the word hipila. They're different shoshim, but nevertheless, you still have the letters pay and laman in them. So therefore, you can explain that that's what it means. That's kolvagomer, and the pasuk says if you fail to keep any of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says that you see any of the mitzvahs, any of the loisah says whether there's mitzvah based in involved or not. Either way, there can be vehifla, there can be malchus. So the Gemara says, "Rabbi Akiva." Well, what about Rabbi Akiva? So the Gemara asks. So the Gemara asks, "Yehochi chai ve'esenami." Well, so if you're going to learn from all the mitzvahs, then according to Rabbi Shmuel, it should apply to mitzvahs asay as well. If a person fails to do a mitzvah asay, it should also be chai malchus according to Rabbi Shmuel. The answer is in lois tishmo k'sim. The pasuk says if you don't observe, meaning in other words that you did something meaning in lois tishmo. So how does lois tishmo come to mean lavim? The chedir of oven, amar rabbi loy, the amar of oven, amar rabbi loy, kol mokum shenema he shomer pen va'al, any place where the Torah says he shomer, guard yourself or pen lest. Or al not ena el lois tese, then this constitutes a lois tese. So therefore, when it says imloy sishmer lasis, then that means we're talking specifically lavim. Okay. The Gemara says yehochi lav she'in b'maisenami. So, according to Rabbi Shmuel, we should say that even a person does a lav she'in b'maisa, he should also be chayiv malchus, and we're going to have examples of lav she'in b'maisa as we go through the perek. And the answer is lasis. Fine, but the pasuk says to do, so it has to be something that he actually did, not just where a lav occurred by him not doing something. An example of a lav she'in b'maisa, let's say we'd be leaving over meat from a korban, which then becomes noiser. He passively left it over and it became noiser. There is a lav not to do that, but nevertheless he's not chayv malchus for it. So the reason is because it's lasis. So the Gemara says, lav she'nitach le'eseh, nami. What about a lav she'nitach le'eseh, then a person should be chayv malchus? A lav she'nitach le'eseh is where the Torah says, don't do this, but if you did this, then do something else instead. Don't steal, but if you did, v'heshev esakzeva. Don't take the mother bird together with the young, but if you did, shalach ha'seim, send away the mother, etc. And the answer is dumya de lav de chasima. The answer is that Rabbi Shmuel says because it has to be similar to the lav of chasima. Right after in Parshas at the end of Parshas Kisetze, right after it talks about malchus. Right after we have that those psukim, the pilei ashevet, the kol afonav, and aboyim yakenu, and all that. Right after that, it says loisachsam shor bedishoy. Don't muzzle an ox while it's threshing the grain. So from that we learn that for a lav to be chai of malchus, it has to be similar to chasima. Namely, there's no S there afterwards. The person muzzled his ox. He can't say afterwards, well, I'll unmuzzle it and allow it to eat from now on. Nevertheless, he already did the issue and he's already chayav malchus. So therefore, we learn from that, that a lav on nitik l'eser does not get malchus. So the Gemara says, fine, hashtag the osis lahochi. You know what, now that you mention that point, kuvanami jumya de lav de chasima, then we don't need to say, like we said before, that because the pasuk is implying that it has to dafka be a lav and it has to be a lav sheyesh b'maisa, you can say since we're comparing it to chasima, then therefore it means that it has to be like chasima. It has to be something active and it has to be not nitek l'eser, and you don't need the other logical things that we used before in order to exclude lav sheyesh b'maisa and so forth. So now, what about Rabbi Tova points out in that case, then if we're comparing to Chasima, then according to Rabbi Shmuel, why are Chai v'Krisis and why are Chai v'Mitzvahs based in getting Malchus? So the Chasima doesn't involve, Lysachs and Mishra B'disha doesn't involve Chorus or Mitzvahs based in. So the Tova explains because we have the word either because the process is Eskol, Imlo Yisishma Lassus Eskol HaTorah, therefore eskol divrei haTorah azoi, so therefore we can learn from the word eskol, or because since the Torah is more machmir by them, is not a reason to take away from the punishment and say there should be less of a punishment, there should be not malchus by them, so therefore it has to mean more. Okay. Rabbi Akiva, what does Rabbi Akiva answer to that? Why does he say v'chai v'krisis or mitzvahs based in there's not malchus? And again, keep in mind, up to this point, the Gemara is assuming that what we meant was, Rabbi Shmuel had meant that there could be both. That again, a person who broke Shabbos, for example, he could be getting malchus and then afterwards be executed, as opposed to, according to Rabbi Akiva, we would say that no. So according to Rabbi Akiva, why didn't he learn like Rabbi Shmuel and say that they would be chayav malchus? The answer is because the pasuk says k'dei rishasay. The pasuk says according to his wickedness he gives him malchus. From which we learn, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, mishum risha achas ata mechayev. You can only be mechayev him because of one wickedness. You can only be mechayev him one punishment for the avera. V'yata mechayev mishum shtei rishoyes. You can't give him two punishments for the same avera. Therefore, there can't be both malchus and nisa. Rabbi Shmuel, what does Rabbi Shmuel answer? In other words, Tosfos points out the point of the Gemara's question on Rabbi Akiva was, yes, we said before that if a person is Chayiv Misa and he does Shuvah based in Shomata, can't forgive him, but maybe, okay, so maybe they should give him both. They still have to give him Misa based in, but why can't they give him Malkus as well? And the answer is because it says Kedei Rishosli. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel, what does Rabbi Shmuel answer to that? He says, Hani nimi misa umamon oy malchus umamon. Sure, when it comes to misa and mamon, you can't give him both punishments. Or when it comes to malchus and mamon, then you can't give him both. Aber misa umalchus, but when it comes to giving him misa and malchus, misa arichtehi, in effect, it's a long, drawn-out death. In other words, giving him malchus, he's already half dead by the end of the malchus anyhow. Later in the parak, we're going to talk about they have doctors evaluate him ahead of time, see how many malchus he can take without dying, but nevertheless, malchus brings him pretty close to death. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says, Misa and Malchus is basically one long thing. They're both done on his goof. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel holds that that's not excluded because of Kedei Rishosai. Okay. So the Gemara says, fine. Ulu Rabbi Akiva. Ihochi. So let's go back to Rabbi Akiva. If you're going to say that he's learning that you can only have one Risha, only one punishment, Chayiv Krisus, then why should a person who's Chayiv Kodesh be Chayiv Malchus? My Amit, what did you say before? Im Osa Tshuva, that if they did Tshuva, then they won't get Kodesh anymore. Hash the Miaflay Avi, the fact is they haven't yet done Tshuva, and Basin should be giving them Malchus. So why, according to Rabbi Akiva, are they getting Malchus when we should say there's a possibility they still might be getting Kodesh because they don't do Tshuva? The word ihochi over here is a little bit interesting because the word ihochi usually means if you're going to say what we already established in the Gemara, then you have the following question. But here the real question is basically on Rabbi Akiva's own statement. As soon as he says that Chayiv Krisus can be getting Malchus, then immediately you should have the question before the Gemara has even said anything to explain Rabbi Akiva's shita. So in fact, the Mephoshim will take out the words Ihochi, the Ritva takes out those words. On the other hand, the Ramban finds a way to defend them. In other words, he says, if it weren't for Kedei Rishosai, you could say that you have to punish them for the lav. So therefore, so when it comes to Misas based in, you're already punishing them with Misa, then sure, you don't give them Malchus as well. Chayvik Krisis, the fact is he could do Tshuva, so maybe he shouldn't be potter from Malchus. So therefore, because after all, he might not get any punishment at all. He might do Tshuva and not get Kodesh, and you might not give him Malchus. But now that we're saying that Rabbi Akiva is saying that now that Rabbi Akiva is learning from Kedei Rishosai that Basin cannot punish him with two punishments, then the question is that why? So why should they give him Malchus if he might not do tshuva and he might get Kodesh? So that's the Gemara is asking. If so, once you've established that Basin that he cannot have two punishments, then why could he get in both Malchus and potentially still get Kodesh as well if he might not do tshuva and end up getting Kodesh? And the answer is. And the answer is Amar Rav Abahu, the Feirush ribs the Torah Chayvei Krisus Malchus, because the Torah clearly explicitly says a ribui that people who are Chayv Kores get Malchus. The Gama Laenei Mi Laenecha, because we learn a Gzeira Shava between the word Laenei, where it says by Kores Laenei V'Nichlus Laenei Bnei Amam, and by Malchus, where it says V'Nikla Achicha Laenecha. So therefore, so you have a Gzeira Shava over there that teaches you that people who are Chayiv Kores can still be getting Malchus. They might not do Tshuva and they might end up getting Kores. That's not Basin's problem. They still have to give them Malchus. So in other words, Taich is out then that if they did Tshuva, he means, in other words, that why is the Torah taka machmir more on Chayiv Krisus than on Chayiv Misas Basin? Why is it by Chayiv Misas Basin they wouldn't be getting Malchus and by Kores they would? The reason is, as Rabbi Akiva had said, because by Kodesh they could conceivably do Tshuva and be potter from Kodesh, whereas by Mrs. Basin they're never going to be. Bach goes on and discusses this point in some further detail. Anyway. So the Gemara says, Master for Rav Abba Bar Memel, and Rav Abba Bar Memel says, wait a minute, how can you learn a Gzeira Shava from, in that case, we should learn a Gzeira, if you're going to tell me that we're learning a Gzeira Shava between Kores and Mrs. Basin, because one says La'ene and one says La'enecha, then by the same thing, Ihochi, Chayv and Mrs. Basin Nami, Nigmane, Me'ene, Me'ene, Mila'enecha. By Mrs. Basin, it says Me'ene, by Mrs. Beis Din, it says in me einen ha'eder nes of the shloga, and by Malkus was saying it says la'einecha. So we should learn a gzeira shloga from one to the other, and Rabbi Akiva should say by the same token that where there's Mrs. Beis Din, then where just like where there's Chorus, there can be Malkus. The same way where there's Mrs. Beis Din, there can be Malkus, and why isn't Rabbi Akiva learning that gzeira shloga? Now, to be sure, a person can't come up with a gzeira shava on his own, but the Gemara knew that there's a gzeira shava on the word la'inecha. So how do we know that we learn it only from the one by Krusis rather than from the one by Mrs. Beis Din? So the answer is done in la'enem la'enecha vein done in me'enem la'enecha, because la'enem la'enecha are basically the same word. It just has the chof as a suffix, as opposed to me'enem la'enecha are different, and you can't dash an gzeira shava between them. So the Gemara says, "Amai nafkamine? Why? Why is there a difference? You could doubt it not only where it's not the same word, where it's not even the same shoresh. You can have a zera shava. V'atana dveda bishmal v'shava koyin uvoha koyin. The pasuk mentioned by a house with tzaras. One place it says v'shava koyin. The koyin returns and finds that the house has tzaras again after they'd peeled off the part of the wall that had the tzaras and replaced the stones, etc. And then a few pesukim later it says uvoha koyin. The koyin should come." And we learn from that Zuhi Shiva Vizuhi Bia. We learn a Zeta Shava between the words Shiva and Bia, which teaches us therefore that from there we learn that if it comes back a second time, then also so you have a case rather where the tzaras persisted for a week, so in other words, like this, in the psukim themselves you only have that you take off the plaster and you replace the stones, etc., and then if the tzaras comes back then you demolish the house. But Torah Shabbat Peh tells us it's not so. We may have to wait up to 3 weeks before the house is demolished. So we learn that from this Zera Shava, Veshava Koyin, Uvoha Koyin. Just like with Veshava Koyin, he comes back and he scrapes off the wall and removes the tzaras and replasters and puts in new stones, etc. The same way after the second week, sometimes that will be done as well. Only after the third week, if it comes back again, do you tear down the house. So we learn that from the Zera Shava, from the word Veshava Uvoha. So we see that you can have a gzeira shava between two words that are not even the same word. So why is there a problem learning la'ene from learning me'ene from la'enecha? Va'oid ligma me'ene mila'ene. And another question asked from Abba Memel is that not only that, you could also say that you could learn the gzeira shava me'ene that it says by Mrs. Beis Din from la'ene that it says by Chayva Krisis. So therefore, so you would have, and then you would say that just like by Chayva Krisis, there's Malkus, so also by Chayva Mrs. Beis Din, Me'ene and La'ene are not so different. Dogom La'ene and La'enecha, the same way as you can learn La'ene from La'enecha, even though one has a suffix and the other doesn't, the same way you can learn from Me'ene and La'ene, because they're the same thing, just with a different prefix. So no, the Gemara says, so that doesn't work to explain why Rabbi Akiva would hold that there's that distinction. Kibla minei Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok. Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok accepted Rav Abba bar Memel's question and said that is a valid point, and therefore we can't learn Rav Akiva that way. Rather, we have to say the reason is kedei rishosei, because we learn from this as follows. When it says kedei rishosei, again mishum risha achas atam machayvay, that you can only machayv him one risha, only one punishment. We have to machayv him mishum shtei rishoyes, but not two punishments. That would be specifically berisha amasudal abased in achas medaber. The pasuk is excluding specifically a risha that's given over to based in. Meaning in the words, so kores is not in the hands of based in, missus based in. And Malkus are. Therefore, so when you have Mrs. Beis Din, you can't also have Malkus, because that would be Shtei Rishoyis. But where there's Koris, we don't care. Let's say the guy doesn't do Tshuva and he ends up getting Koris. Doesn't matter. Koris is not in the hands of Beis Din in the first place, and therefore there's no problem giving him Malkus and not worrying about what might happen, that he might end up getting Koris. So therefore Rabbi Akiva can hold that there is that difference between Kores and Mrs. Beis Din in terms of what kind of punishment he's going to get. Tosfos points out there also, so that would mean also by Chayve Mises, it would mean what if they didn't give him Hasra for Misa? What if they only gave him Hasra for Malkus? Then it would mean that he would get Malkus. Tosfos points out there are other Gemaras that say differently, so that would be Rava and various other Gemaras explains that no, even if they gave Masra for Malkus, the problem is called Lav Shenitin, Laz Horus Mrs. Beis Din, and a person never gets Malkus for that, Rava learns. But meanwhile, Tosfos says Rav Kahana understands Rav Akiva differently. and says that that there would be that possibility, not Rakan, the Gemara in general says over there, there would be that possibility that if, for example, a person broke Shabbos and they warned him, don't do it, not you're going to be Chayiv Misa. They didn't mention Misa. They mentioned you're going to be Chayiv Malkus. Then according to one opinion in the Gemara, he could in fact be Chayiv Malkus, and there's no problem because there's no Shtei Rishoyus. Meanwhile, according to Rabbah, it's a special case called Azhara Lavshin Nitzan, Azhara Misa based in. So in that case, he'd get off scot-free. There'd be no Malkus and no Misa either. No Misa because there was no Azhara for it, and no Malkus because such a lav rav learns never gets Malkus. So that's the Gemara. Going to mention that point soon, but we'll take that up tomorrow, Bez Hashem.